Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Inigo Rumeyer. Good afternoon, Inigo. How are you doing today?
Good. And you, Mark? Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention that Inigo is the co-CEO of Arcus, and we'll be talking about that later. So thank you for joining us. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah. First of all, again, thank you so much for having us and excited to share our story. So my name is Inigo Rumeyer. I'm originally from Mexico. So I come from a family that does agriculture. And when I was the opportunity to go to college, I applied to go to the United States. I got a scholarship to go to the University of Pennsylvania. So I went to UPenn in Philadelphia, which was amazing. Then from there, kind of the reason why I went to the US and was to start a technology company. I didn't like agriculture that much. It's a tough business. So I wanted to start a business in technology. So that's where I met my co-founder, and that's where we started Arcus 7 years ago. And we were lucky enough that we were part of Y Combinator, and that's how we started our journey. So it's been a fun ride these last 7 years.
Yeah, cool. See, if you wanted to go into agriculture, you would have gone to UC Davis, which is the big agricultural school around here.
Yeah.
And little known, most people don't know this, my uncle went to UPenn.
So, oh, nice.
Many years ago, he played quarterback, actually. And my mom lives in Philadelphia. Nice. So we've hung around in the same places.
Yeah, Philadelphia is amazing. I really loved it. Yeah. I think it's an underrated city. It's one of my favorite cities. Yeah. And it was such an amazing experience.
Yeah. I agree. I was there last week, actually. So
nice.
What about Arcus? What do you guys do? Who do you serve? All those things. What's your base product?
Yeah, so at Arcus, we're creating a payment as a service platform that allows any type of company, think of it like either banks, fintechs, retailers, or other type of institutions to move money to, again, other endpoints like banks, fintechs, retailers, or billers, right? Our goal is to make the movement of money easy, right? So we have different solutions through our platforms that allow this movement of money to happen. So we, for example, have a biller directory. So we offer this biller directory and our bill payment platform to banks in Mexico, fintechs in the US, and other type of companies. And we also have connections to billers or other type of companies to move those funds around, right? So we're more a B2B company that creates this infrastructure, and we sell it as a service to, again, fintechs, banks, retailers, and billers. That's one of our products, the bill payment product. We have another solution that we call Arcus Pay, which is a network to do cash in and cash out deposits. Again, when you think about neobanks, they don't have branches, so they need a network to be able to kind of onboard and offboard cash. And then finally, we're in the process of creating our real-time payment network connected to the central bank in Mexico to allow to kind of fintechs and banks to move money real-time to different bank accounts and different accounts in Mexico.
Interesting. So you basically a company that's doing the build versus buy, they could have it in a year if they build it themselves, or they could have it, I would say, in a month if they go through you, right?
Yes, correct. And that's exactly, I mean, you describe it perfectly. I think at the end of the day, kind of eventually companies can build technology, but the world is moving so fast that you need to decide if you want to build it or buy it, right? Or in this case, rent it, right? So in many cases, it's easier for a bank to partner with us than to decide to build it themselves, right? They can focus on their core of the business, on their customers, and they can work with us and launch these solutions more faster and provide value to the end consumer, right?
Yeah.
Again, the value or the business is the consumers are kind of requesting more and more features every day at light speed. If you want to build everything yourself, I don't think you're going to be able to deliver on time.
Right. Yeah. I've been there. It's we've got this many things to do. We have this many resources. Something's got to give, right?
Yeah. And eventually you also have a specialization, right? So we're kind of, dream and breathe our platform. So we focus on this. And when you look at other companies, they have so many priorities that it's really hard to focus, right?
Yeah.
So if we can make sure that we do this perfectly for them. They can, again, focus on creating more value to their customers.
Yeah.
So, and I think we've seen this trend increase much more in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. In the past, you will see that banks wanted to do everything themselves, or you will see these three major providers, Fiserv, FIS, and ACI, to do everything for them. And kind of now they're looking to partner with more fintech companies, and you start to see kind of a more diverse ecosystem of collaboration.
Hmm. Yes, I would agree. I actually worked in the banking industry. I worked at HSBC for a while, so I'm sure you've heard of them.
Yeah.
So you said you started 7 years ago. About 5 years into your tenure there, the world went into a pandemic. And you were based in New York, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of, I mean, a big, you know, fintech capital, I mean, what effect did that have on your business when all of a sudden, you know, I'm assuming everybody came into the office for a while, then all of a sudden, March 16th, 2020, everybody's got to stay home, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it was a really interesting time, for sure. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of learnings. For us, it was interesting because kind of when you think about New York, the majority of people are there because of their job, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that they're from New York. From us, I'm from Mexico. One of my co-founders is from the Dominican Republic. Some other people were from Singapore, from Spain, kind of from all over the place, right? From different parts of the US. So kind of when the pandemic hit, everyone went home, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's so scared. Either you will like close the door in your apartment in New York, or you kind of flew to wherever you were from to be with your family. Thankfully to us, we were already kind of spend half of the time remote. Mm-hmm. So for us, the transition was much easier to do. And kind of since then, we've been remote, right? We have our space in New York, but kind of nobody really goes to the office anymore and everyone's remote. So mm-hmm. It's definitely been a kind of a big change, right? And also when you think about kind of the reason of being in New York was because you had the opportunity to go and see people, right? Mm-hmm. Either from different banks or from different clients and kind of do networking to find opportunities. And also kind of for the last year and a half, kind of people will not give you a meeting in person, right? You will do a meeting in Zoom. So at some point, it was easier just to kind of be more flexible and allow people to be wherever they wanted to be, as long as kind of they kind of deliver on their goals that they have.
Yeah. And interesting, New York got hit really hard at first. So it had to be pretty scary there. Right?
Yeah,
you were there, sure. Right? Yes, I remember. Yeah, my son was there too. So, and I know he hightailed it out of there. But it's interesting. I mean, you're basically, your product is technology. And generally, people in technology are much more comfortable with working from home. We're working remotely. They can literally work from anywhere. It doesn't have to be from home. It could be from, you know, the local coffee shop, right? So, yeah. And I have to believe that you have a fair amount of security with your system. So was that, I mean, did you have to add any additional security to your, you know, your own people, or because I have to believe you really know that stuff inside out, moving money around.
Yeah. I mean, for us, as I was saying, like since we were already kind of from the start, we were a remote company, mm-hmm. or we had different employees in different parts of the world. So from the beginning, we already kind of were, our setup was planned to have different collaboration without the need of being in a physical office.
Mm-hmm.
And even before the pandemic hit, we will spend half of the week remote, right? Even if I was in New York, and I can tell you that some of my most productive days were the days that I worked at home, because that way I could just focus on the work that I needed to get done without all the distractions. Obviously, mm-hmm. right now, you have 100 Zoom meetings per day, which makes it a little more challenging. But back then, you could like use those 2 days, work from home and be able to get work done and focus on something that otherwise in the office was hard because people will kind of interrupt you for different things, right?
Right.
So for us, the pandemic was kind of, we were already ready, right? It was just, hey, instead of coming 3 days to the office, we decided the first month because, I mean, I'm one of the, at the beginning, I thought this was going to like take a month, right? Mm-hmm. I will never guess that it was going to take 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more like, okay, kind of for the next month, the office is going to be closed. Just keep doing what you were doing and kind of we'll let you know next month, right? Mm-hmm. but kind of the whole setup was already created to be able to do that collaboration remote. I think for companies that kind of they didn't want to allow it, it was a big change, right? And I think one of the reasons for us is when you work in technology, as you were saying, kind of at the end of the day, you can get the work done from whenever, right? It's just, and I think it's more about the quality of people that you hire and the team that you build than kind of making sure that people go to the office just to pretend they're working, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's gotten in. And it's interesting, you know, now that you, I agree with everyone thought a month, maybe two, three tops, right? And now it's been almost, you're right, it's been over a year and a half now. So you still have an office, but that no one goes into. When that lease is up, do you foresee that you'll extend it? Or do you think, you know what, we're just going to go 100% remote?
I mean, basically for us, we kind of moved to a WeWork. So we had a kind of full office and we decided to move to a WeWork. And now kind of we bought memberships that you can use WeWork wherever you are, right? And we were thinking of closing our offices. We didn't because we had some requirements for some kind of procedures that we need to have in office. Mm-hmm. But we don't expect to go back to the office anytime soon. Again, for us, surprisingly, people were more productive working from home than going to the office, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you're close to the office, that's amazing. But when you need to do commute of 1 hour or 1 hour and a half per day, then you can use that time to kind of get other stuff done, right? Yes. So at the end of the day, if kind of you give that flexibility, people, I think, appreciate it. And many times you see better results.
Yes, I would agree. And I noticed on your LinkedIn profile that you're hiring now. So now that you're hiring, are you looking in New York or you're like, hey, we're looking at wherever the best person is right now?
I mean, we look at whatever the best person is right now. I also think it's an advantage, right? Because a lot of the times when people are in New York, you pay a ton of taxes, lot of money on real estate, right? So people can, in the past, you're looking everywhere, right? And you can find better talent. And I also think one of the things that we see is people are looking for more flexible options, right? Again, a lot of people were in New York because of their job. And now if you don't need to be in New York and you can be anywhere in the world and your company gives you that ability, you value that flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. And it's funny for us because it's like we've grown a lot during the pandemic. And probably half of the team, we hire them remote, right? Mm. So it's an interesting fact as well, because in the past, we were in New York and that was already kind of, we set up the company there. So then moving people from New York somewhere else will be a big challenge. Mm-hmm. But now that everyone is remote, then kind of it's the opposite, right?
Right.
If you want to tell everyone now you need to move to this place, it's probably going to be a big challenge.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting times ahead for sure.
And I don't know if this has happened in New York. It's definitely happened in San Francisco where I am. There were a bunch of people that the same, they lived in San Francisco because that's where their job was. And particularly the city of San Francisco. And what we've seen is people are moving from the city to the suburbs because now that they're home more, they want the yard and they want a little more space and they don't want to be dealing with traffic all the time. So housing prices have actually gone up where I live in the suburbs. So I don't know if that's true in New York or not.
Yeah, I mean, for us, again, it's like what we see is, and we also have a big portion of our team is in Mexico. Mm. And again, people will do 2 hours of commute every day, right? Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, right? What we've done is we try to give people resources so they can have a better setup at home, right? Mm-hmm. Some people like to go to the office and it's because their setup at home is not as kind of, is not accommodated to work from home, right? But if you use some of the resources that you were spending at the office to help people have a better setup to work from home, I think you're going to see that people are happier, right? Eventually, I think you're going to see a hybrid model, but it's going to be interesting how that looks, right? Because obviously, sometimes, again, we hire more than 40 people during the pandemic and wow, we haven't met anyone in person, right? So eventually you need to have, create that camaraderie, like go for lunch and kind of how do you combine that remote world with kind of some human interaction, which always helps, yes. right? To build a community and kind of relationships. We've been trying to do like kind of virtual happy hours or these type of things to kind of be able to get people to know each other, even if kind of
right.
they're from home, right?
Yeah, but it's not quite the same as face-to-face, right?
Yeah, correct.
I think in 2022, we'll see more of that. And I think what I've talked to different CEOs, what they're doing is they're saying, hey, we're going to have a big company meeting, you know, pick a wonderful city that everyone would like to go to, right? Yeah. Like in January, let's go to San Diego.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, we used to do, and we're planning on doing it, one retreat every year, right? You go for a week to whatever, Cancun or some fun place, as you were saying, and you fly everyone so you can have that human interaction. Yeah. But I think you're going to see more of that, right? Where you kind of get the flexibility of working from home, but you also get the interaction right. to kind of get to know different people in your company and learn from them and build those relationships that are valuable as well.
Yes. I agree. Well, Inigo, it's been great talking to you. I wish Arcus lots of luck. It sounds like you're on an upward. If you hired 40 people during a pandemic, that's a pretty good upward swing, I would say. So good luck in the future. And thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you so much, Mark. And thank you for this chat and a pleasure to be here.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great day as well.
All right. Bye.